the Economic Development Committee order on Tuesday, October 1st, 2019. The whole gang is here. Except for Ken. The whole gang is here.
All the teachers, the readers, myself, staff.
So it doesn't look like we're going to have any citizens' comments because no one's here. Minutes for correction and approval for September 3rd, 2019.
So moved.
Comments or criticism?
Second.
Okay, we're going to take them as presented. New business. One, EDC 2019-78, the building report. Permit report for August 2019.
In August, we had 7 single-family homes, 7 commercial plants, and 361 miscellaneous plants, which were the vast majority of, which were roofs and storm damage.
We're still on storm damage. Yeah.
Still.
We'll be there forever. Any comments or questions on the report? Okay, let's go to EDC 2019-79 Building Inspection Report for August 2019.
In August, we did, I apologize. In August, we did a very lot of, I'm sorry, I lost the sheet here. We did a ton of inspections, I think it was over 300. We also did a lot of roofs. I have Bob dedicated full-time to doing roofs. And we're also using the building fire code. Gentlemen do roofs as well. Just trying to let Bob have a little bit of a break. It seems to be dominating our schedule lately.
Okay, comments or questions? Okay, sounds good. Keep up on those roofs. 3, EDC 2019-80, Property Maintenance Report for August 2019.
In August, we heard 7 cases at hearing. Of those, the notable standouts would be the weeds. We have a lot of weeds, and it just seems to not... This year seems to be rough for the banks and stuff like that. We don't... Like, if a bank owns a house, we seem to have a hard time getting a hold of them. Getting to actually maintain it, so we've been sending the public works guys out a lot to take care of most of those in the chronic areas.
What about getting a hold of the real estate brokers? Sometimes they have a better response, because I know I think we've called a couple in my subdivision for that.
Yeah, that's predominantly how we do get a hold of them. That, or usually what happens is we find that there's a placard in the house, let's call this person. We call them and they tell us that they don't have responsibility for the house.
Yeah.
And we found out lately that there's been a lot of trading on these foreclosed homes. Where, let's say, Bank of America forecloses on a house, they'll just laterally trade it off to a different bank. So now you're no longer talking to the person you were talking to. Said, yeah, we'll be out there tomorrow and cut it. All of a sudden, they're not out there.
Now he's chased. Yeah.
Yeah. So it usually ends up being some. We have one issue. Which one was it? I don't think it's on this list, but where it ended up trading to a private equity firm out of San Francisco. So, I mean, we call, leave a message, and then finally just send public works out to cut it after it was found in violation. It's just, can't get hold of them. They don't have anyone. The big banks are still doing pretty good.
But. Yeah.
When they do that, does that affect how we lien them, or the lien just goes on to the title?
Lien goes to the bank.
Lien goes on to the title.
It won't go to the broker.
So when they sell, they'd have to pay us.
Okay. So if it's changing?
It doesn't matter. It stays with the...
Okay. I was curious. Right. Any other comments or questions? Okay, let's go to 4, EDC 2019-81, Economic Development Report for September 2019.
Well, you have it in front of you. A couple of updates since the time that I penned this. Looks like Parma Pizza Bar is going to be opening next week. I was given a date of October 10th. Open to the public. So there may be a couple of days before that, or maybe have like a little preview day. So stay tuned, because we had a meeting earlier today and heard that maybe... So October 10th, I think, is next Thursday. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think they're saying maybe Tuesday and Wednesday there might be some little tastings. So just kind of be on the lookout. If I hear anything... Last week he told me October 10th. Last week he said October 10th. They will be open. And it will be a soft opening. So, and then regarding development south of the river, the Perfection Space property. It's about 13 acres. It's now under contract officially, and the developer, which is RS Ram, has engaged HR Green to do engineering and a site plan for an assisted living project. So, actually, I had a call this morning from a resident in Greenbrier, and they were curious because they saw the sign that said under contract, so, you know, we may get calls like that. So,
probably the people that own the lot that they kept. Actually, Brent bought that thinking they could put a road through someday.
Oh.
So it comes out, it's an empty lot on Barbary.
Oh.
And they've kept that as a strategic thing and thinking that if that ever gets developed, they could. Oh. And we give Greenbrier a second entrance, too.
Mm. Is that something we need to consider? Or wait, who bought that lot? Is this person?
It used to be owned by Brent.
Oh. I don't know. I'll look into that.
I don't know who owns it now. I know we cite them many times on that, yes. So they don't blow it.
So the man that called me, his name was Vernon Fatima. Like, I remember the name Fatima because, like, the place in Portugal. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I remember that. He was very happy with the idea of assisted living. He said, well, I just didn't want it to reopen as a driving range because my house gets golf balls or something. Or
a lot of balls.
I said, well, no. I said it's going to be, they're looking at a plan to do assisted living. The other thing I could tell you is the idea at this moment, and until they kind of plan it out and see how, you know, kind of take little things and move them around, is to do all single-story buildings, and so buildings that would sort of like face each other and have like courtyards, and so a little bit different from the other two assisted living projects that we have here in Yorkville already. So, and then there is a front lot there that's got B3 on it, and they're definitely trying to come up with an idea of something that would be complementary to either assisted living or the senior component. To have something that would be complementary to that. But it's got B3 on it, so they're going to be... That's the one that goes right up to 47. That's like kind of where that skate park was.
Yeah, skate park, and they had to drive the little putt-putt.
Yeah. The putt-putt part is... well, who knows what that's going to turn out to be. They're going to plan it out right now. So, you know. So, and I also assured the gentleman that was in Greenbrier, I said, this will be a public hearing. This will be a rezoning. It'll be a public hearing. So I said, I'll let you know when they apply because it'll be on the city's website. And you could follow along and, you know, total transparency. He said to me, he said, well, I do want you to let me know because I want to come and speak in favor of it. So I said, okay, it's kind of refreshing. I think it's a great use, and I think that, you know, the neighbors in Greenbrier will like it. The neighbors that are in Prairie Garden, which is 55 and older independent living, will like it. So
we also have Heritage Woods.
Yeah, Heritage Woods is right, a little bit down the way, but butting up to it is Prairie Garden and Greenbrier. So, you know, just Kendall Marketplace, they have applied for the breakup of the front lot. That front lot, we'll see that they've applied with Christie, and so that's going to start, we're going to start seeing that go through the process because there are, it looks to the naked eye when you drive by it that there's that, those front outlots that are like the middle section because they look just like outlots and there's a road behind it, but actually they've never been subdivided, so that's what has to happen then, so. And we've got some interest in those lots. So this is in preparation for maybe some things to be happening there. So that's all I have.
Okay. We're all good with that? All right. Let's go on to EDC 2019-82, the meeting schedule for 2020. Any comments or questions on that? Okay. We're good. And then we're going to go on to 6, EDC 2019-83, the facade program.
All right. It's no secret that downtown planning and implementation has been a focus over the past couple of years, and this would be another component to the planning efforts we've already done, the Landscape Hill, the Overlay District, comp plan. What is a facade program? A facade program is an incentive program for a certain area to help revitalize or redevelop either a historic or a non-historic area. Basically, if things are run down or not been kept in good shape, it gives property owners an incentive like, hey, I might get a little help here if I improve the outside of my building. With the added benefit of hoping that then the neighboring properties would also be like, oh, I want to do that too, you know, and I can get a little help or maybe just invest my own money since now the two buildings next to me look so good. So some of the benefits a facade program can also have is improving sales and improving just the atmosphere and the vitality of the area. And like I said, they come in many shapes and sizes. They can either be run by a municipality, it can be a business group solely focused on commercial areas. And what we've put together is more of a combo of two, so commercial and residential properties within a certain area. So the program packet is attached to the memo. I'll put some quick overarching details from it. So the city would be planning to offer a matching grant of financial assistance, 50% matching on any project that's over $1,000, which a max with a maximum $15,000 in matching funds. The boundaries within the district would actually be where TIF 1 and TIF 2 meet, minus the Kendallwood Estates. Kendallwood Estates is empty. They, you know, wouldn't really be applying to any program. There's no structures on them, so they were removed. And then eligible improvements is pretty much any facade exterior improvement. We're including landscaping with that as well. So basically anything that would revitalize the downtown in these buildings and also like restore them back to their original beauty. One of the things that was mentioned within it is following the neighborhood design manual that we actually adopted last year, and form-based code and other things like that moving forward, the overlay district moving forward. We did come up with an application process. It would be January 1st to March 1st, first come, first serve in the review process. You get your application, your plans together, you submit it to us within that window. We review it. It would come back to EDC with then your recommendation or everything going to City Council. And then within that, after it's been approved by City Council, they get 1 year to complete their project. So we are really just looking for questions and comments on anything that could be improved or any thoughts on the program in general.
Thank you for including pictures with blue skies in them.
No problem.
I don't know why every time we have anything done in Yorkville, it's this murky, gray Seattle that nobody wants to be in. What's the total dollar amount annually that we're talking about?
So right now we have $25,000 in TIF 1 and $25,000 in TIF 2, so a total of $50,000 budgeted for this fiscal year.
And then every year we can add to that or leave
subtract
it the same?
Or subtract or not fund it.
These are the types of things that can just be like icing on the cake of if somebody's buying a new property and they can move in and, oh, we can get, there's a sign grant. Sign grants are always something that are nice because a lot of the sign companies, like the good ones, like Aurora Sign, will actually facilitate all of the paperwork and permits and stuff like that. And they'll be the one that'll bring that opportunity forward. So this is actually stuff that if the PR is good enough, a lot of subs or contractors that work in the area will make this this information available to their customers that might already live in that or work within that geographic area. Because there's been some times where, like, so we work with Aurora Sign as much as possible because, like, they're just really, really good at what they do. They'll actually say, oh, yeah, I can do that with this city because of this particular, whether it's a facade program, a sign grant, or whatever. But if the people who have done business in Yorkville are aware of that, they could use that as a selling point of their own services. So when I saw this was on the agenda, I was like, hell yeah, that's a good move. Because one of the things that we have to contend with is stagnation. And if you say, ah, well, get it in between January 1st and March, and now we're giving them enough time to kind of put it together, maybe get a couple bids, pick the one they want to roll with, and figure out what their budget allows. But the fact that we're talking about a 50-50 match, that's a lot better than a lot of other cities. So I'm all for it. I mean, I think 50 grand for the first year is a good investment because you'll get a minimum of 100 grand of work done. And we'll see how it, you know, works with that peer pressure of just taking care of your facade. So I think it's cool.
So you're going to find this is going to come out of the TIF money, right? So what happens if something else comes that we want to channel TIF dollars to, where we might want to do that instead of something like this? How's that going to work? Because I'm thinking like the future City Hall or whatever, we're going to do that building and any of the Rick stuff plans down there, he may be asking for TIF dollars. So at some point you have to weigh it, unless you're just going to keep going. I'm against going all the way real deep into that borrowing wise. So and then the other thing I was wondering is this money, this after they're done, do they get our portion of the incentive, or is that up front?
I believe it's a rebate.
So they spend it and they give us expenditures.
Correct. They give us the grants are issued in the form of reimbursements after eligible expenses are incurred.
Okay.
So eligible expenses are all building materials, but no soft costs like consulting, you know, studies or anything like that.
So you're good with the guidelines of the program, though?
Yeah, but I see a time where we may want to, and instead of borrowing even more TIF dollars, we have to be able to balance that somehow.
Sure.
Because it could be like, if you go ahead and match this out, and then somebody else comes in and says, well, I don't want TIF dollars for this.
Yeah.
Well, rather than worrying about that, ahead of time, like, use this to kind of kickstart the whole idea, but then have that be a topic of conversation every time that we bring this back, talk about the following year. What are the budget implications of spending another 50 grand?
Yeah, I want to make sure that we're doing two conversations in parallel. They are tied together somewhat. One is just the feedback on the actual guidelines and the process. Mm-hmm. So that's what we were hoping for today. The program is budgeted. Both funds are in deficit, and then additionally, we've got the jail and TIF 2 that, you know, we had some little bit of discussion over just spending money on that. So the budget discussion is completely at the City Council's discretion. So you could do it, you know, I would suggest that we have the conversation at whatever City Council meeting that this is reviewed at, but it can happen anytime after that. We can change our mind and say before we are actually going to, you know, put out the call for applications, you know, we're going to hold off for a little bit longer and then, you know, have the discussion as to whether there's other projects that we want to fund first instead of this. So, or maybe we reduce it and say if we're only going to do $5,000 or something off the topic. Mm-hmm. Or off the top. So the mayor couldn't make the meeting tonight, but he did relay. He was generally fine with the parameters of the thing, but his primary conversation was about funding. He's like, I don't think that this is worth the amount of money that we've got budgeted for it. He said that, you know, he'd prefer to do other things first and or, you know, not do anything at all if the both funds are in deficit. So I anticipate that he'll have some conversation about the budget side of it whenever we end up doing it. So, but we could always adopt the guidelines, put the funding on hold, or at least have the discussion, and then, you know, at least then whenever we fund it, or say go on the funding, you know, the guidelines would be already in place.
When we did the awning, did we have an awning program at one time, Don?
We had a facade.
We had a facade program.
And how was that structured?
I don't really know. That ended before I started. So.
It was similar. I believe it was 50-50. Right. I think the max was 5 grand, though, maybe. It was in place for like 10 years. It was funded to varying amounts, and towards the end of it, in the early 2000s, it was funded at like $2,500 a year or something like that. People used it. I mean, it was eligible all over town. So some of it was used commercial. Some of it was used residentially. And it was fine. So when we were talking about the implementation of this program, I mean, the old program, it was just like open.
I don't think it was residential. I think that was strictly business.
I thought it was just the business.
I think it was just business.
Okay.
I think it was in the downtown, too.
Yeah.
It was
in the downtown.
It was in the downtown.
They put the ones up and they got knocked down with trucks or something, right?
There was that for a little while, and I think there was a residential one prior to, but you would know better than I would.
We concentrated on downtown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Like the golf cart guy. That's how he renovated.
He's got, yes. Okay.
Yeah,
he was,
you're right.
That's probably the best example. Mm-hmm. That's what he did.
And I remember the building at the corner, that's the one the trucks caught. They put a blue facade on that one building right before the train tracks, and I think the trucks caught it.
Oh, for the awnings.
Yeah, caught the awning before it loose.
Yeah.
I remember something.
That was, that was Bob Ament, now Ant Building.
Yeah, put right on top of the train tracks, and then...
That was when
Bob Ament owned it.
Yeah.
When he was still
alive. Yeah, we did awnings on it. And then the Hotel Maiden.
Oh, yeah, Pink Hotel. That was a little...
Yeah, but I don't think we ever gave them money because they were
not the painted pink.
No, they just never had like the receipts and stuff. And,
oh boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was a scary place.
The thought process behind the 60-day window was, I mean, the old program was just open; anybody would apply at any time. And we thought, you know, there might be like a mini rush of applications, 3 or 4. And if we funded it to a limited dollar amount, at least then we could look at all of them at once and say, like, yeah, we like this project over the other ones. So.
So what's the realistic timeline this would be created?
If we adopted this at the next meeting, I mean, the way we've got it proposed now is we would say January 1st to March 1st is like the initial application window. And if we only get one and it's fine, but it doesn't take up the entire funding amount, then we would just say it's open until, you know,
until
it's spent. So we'll see.
So we talked of how, our like in the past, it was a committee.
Yep.
Of, you know, there was like an architect on it, and a historian, blah, blah, blah. Are we going to kind of have a committee like that again?
Our proposal was to keep it more simple and direct to City Council. We were just going to do a staff recommendation, kick it up to this committee, actually, for review, and then City Council for approval, regardless of dollar amount. Even if it's $1,000, we figured for, at least for the first, you know, couple rounds of applications until everybody gets comfortable with what we're approving.
Yeah.
You know, it probably should be done at City Council level. So, I mean, that's another trigger point. We could say, it's open, it's funded, see what happens, and then we could always say, like, thanks, but no thanks. We don't really love any of these programs, so, or any of these applications.
Okay. Any other comments or questions?
So you're going to work on the ordinance on this. Are you going to bring it back here?
We'll go to City Council if everybody's okay with that.
Okay.
Looks good.
Sounds good. Everybody fine with that? Okay.
Not next week, the end of the month.
The end of the month, yeah.
Okay. Second meeting. Sounds good. Okay. So 7, EDC 2019-84, the Plano Boundary Agreement.
Yes, so this may be a familiar topic to everyone who was here last couple of years. We did a boundary agreement extension between the city and Sugar Grove in 2016. We extended that boundary agreement for another 20 years, so it was 2036. And the proposal now is the boundary agreement that existed between Yorkville and Plano expired June 24th, 2019. Illinois state statute says that upon expiration, that then we can either extend, amend, or just end the agreement. So what we're proposing to do is extend the agreement another 20 years, which would take us into year 2039. And we are updating the agreement because the agreement was done at a time where there were things that were in place. It was June 1999, that are no longer in place. One being that Eldemain Road was not in the county's jurisdiction at that time. As of 2006, it became a county road. So some of the recommendations or cost sharing that were in there referencing that the 50-50 share between Plano and Yorkville no longer applies. In 2011, we entered into an intergovernmental agreement with not only Plano, but the county, where the county took over jurisdiction, as I mentioned, of 34, so that they could forward their plan to extend, not 34, Eldemain, so they could extend Eldemain down to Walker Road. So part of that agreement in 2011 stated that any time there was any future annexation, because the city had not paid their portion of construction of Eldemain during that time, we would then do a per linear foot recapture. So that's a future annexation, not of existing properties along Eldemain that are in the city's jurisdiction. If you look through the agreement, I'll just point out a couple of things that have changed. We still will have jurisdictional say over 1.5 miles, even if it falls on the side of Plano in regards to special uses, rezonings. That doesn't change our ability to do our statutory objection if we want to. We will remove a couple of pieces of the language that talks about if a subdivision happens within 1.5 mile on the other side, we would exercise our subdivision control regulations. That doesn't apply anymore because there would be no gaps in between our boundaries. So El Domain will continue to be our boundary. Anything that falls on the west side would be Plano. Anything on the east side would be Yorkville. And we won't try to encroach and impose our subdivision standards on things that fall outside of our a delineated line. And some of the things we were talking about in the agreement that no longer exists is there was mention of a well, that the city would maintain a well. We sold that to Plano years ago, so there's no need to maintain that well. We're not doing it now. And everything else stays the same. The biggest change, and I didn't include this in your packet, but this is just the boundaries of all the other boundary agreements we have. If you want, pass those down. Sugar Grove isn't updated on that. We have to update the map. But pretty much most of these agreements are in place. Sugar Grove, as I mentioned, is in 2036 now. We have two that are coming up for 2021 that we need to look at, and that's Oswego and Plainfield. Montgomery is a 2027, so we don't really have to worry about that one right away at this point. But then there's some boundaries that we don't have that fall within our 1.5 mile jurisdiction that we need to look at. And in the future, that'll be Millbrook and Newark that we need to work on. And potentially Joliet, even though that's not within our 1.5 mile, but they could soon encroach within that. What we're proposing is a public hearing at the November 12th City Council. State statute says we have to have a public hearing and publish 30 days in advance. So I already published it's going to be published in the October 4th. Plano has reviewed it. We've been working with Tom Harpus at Plano. Haven't had a lot of feedback from him yet that it was something that he's opposed to. He's running at the flag post with his mayor and their city attorney. So we'll get some comments before we go to a public hearing, or we can always reschedule a public hearing if there's some substantial changes. But the map now shows that the boundary has extended down following along the El Domain Road extension. So if you have any questions.
The only thing I would add to it is, for, I don't know if you guys realize, some of the newer aldermen, the school district doesn't follow this boundary line. So Plano actually comes into our area, so part of that is Plano School District.
Oh,
just in case you guys knew that or not.
No,
I didn't know it either when I first come on. I'm like, why is that Plano?
Well, maybe there's property at the northeast corner of Yorkville's boundary that we could give to Montgomery to just kind of, I don't know, even some things out.
Yeah, it would help our schools.
What is that?
Good luck.
Yeah. I said nothing more.
So if you have any feedback for me to give back to Plano, or
comments, questions, or maybe what can we really do? I mean, that's kind of up to the school district, though.
Yeah, it's part of our action plan goals, and it was a topic of conversation when we had a meeting with the mayor and the board chairman over there. So, I mean, it involves two entities that aren't either one of the people that were at the table at the time, so we have to engage, the other side and see what happens.
Because I thought one time we talked about having some industrial uses, and then we realized, Yorkville schools won't get there's a chunk of that money. It'll be Plano schools.
Correct.
Lincoln Prairie is, all of Lincoln Prairie is in Plano School District.
Yeah, we've also talked about how difficult it would be, it's one factor among many, but to convince the Yorkville City Council to outlay potentially a large amount of infrastructure risk to be able to attract a large industrial user out there, knowing that it won't benefit our entire community, so... It'll help the city out as an organization, but it won't help the school district out at all. So,
okay. Well, I guess we're good with this. Public hearing is our next step.
Yes.
So, all right, sounds good. Do Do we have any old business? Oh, we have no old business. Do we have any additional business?
Oh, we do have a little bit of old business. Okay. Sorry, it's not on the agenda. The downtown Landscape Hill project, remember we had approved that. It was budgeted for. We went out to bid for that into September, September 24th. We got no bidders.
None?
We had 10 people pull the bid and were interested in them. But the problem that became, what we realized is he was either a landscaper that pulled it or a sign person. So it was no one willing to do the design of the sign and then get a sub as a landscaper or vice versa.
And it's also, only 50 grand, so it's too much work for 50
grand. And also the timing, we were looking at having it done by May of 2020. Became an issue too. So what we decided to do, we had a meeting this morning, is to rebid at the end of the month, end of next month, and just do two separate bids. And we'd have a pre-bid conference where we would have all of the landscapers and the sign manufacturers there and kind of talk about the project so that they have an opportunity to kind of understand the component of the landscaping being done at one point and the sign being done at another point, and extending the completion date until September of 2020.
We're splitting up the scopes then, so we're going to bid it as a sign.
Yep.
25 and 25.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're not putting the price out there. We're asking for bids of what it would cost. So, but we have budgeted $50,000 for it. We've gotten some internal numbers, and we feel comfortable with those numbers, and we'll come back at that point.
So do they have to pull new bids?
Yes.
A new RP?
Yeah, it's a new bid, so we're just going to go out for a bid, two separate scopes. And we may look into refining the design for the wall, because that was an issue, too. It was kind of too open.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I had three conversations with three different people that were interested in it. And they're like, all that for 50 grand? Like, it seemed like a very, very large, all-encompassing project for 50 grand. And then the design of the sign, like, even the design of the sign, and then the fabrication of that, and then you want a wall for 50 grand? Like, every conversation was like, really? Let it come, be empty, and then rethink it, but...
So again, they were looking at the larger scope, but we were just taking a smaller component of
it was
that project. So
yeah, everyone that I talked to didn't understand it. So I think splitting it up would make more sense.
Make it clear.
Or having the design of it be, so maybe three of them. So you have, this is the design, and we talk about design first. I know we have the all-encompassing thing, but to give a landscaper or a sign manufacturer that plan and say, okay, we know that this is all 500 grand, but just
focus on
do the big stuff that we want for just 50 grand. I don't know.
Yeah.
While I
didn't put the budget in the RFP.
No, we didn't. We didn't put the budget in the RFP.
So if somebody was submitted a bid for 80 grand, I mean, we would have taken it back and then studied it.
Right.
So we're in the bid. We don't put the amount in there. We're asking for them to give us their estimated cost.
Because, they would never...
The minutes.
They would never bid under it.
Under it, right.
Yeah, it just seemed like it was pretty expensive for
we'll
contractor, but...
Okay.
Hmm.
So...
Good shot.
Give that a try. Okay. No other old business? We're good? Any additional business? Okay, 6:34. Let's adjourn.
Whoa!